Couple things I know that I guess I'll pass along to you, and they are that Evelyn Paglini, tonight's guest, she's the real thing. She's a real witch. She comes from a very long line of witches and practitioners of the craft, and Ramona was very, very close to her and also was a practitioner of the craft. And so I can tell you, I just know, I believe me, I know she's the real thing. Got a real husky voice. Actually, she sounds kind of witch-like in a lot of ways now that I think about it. But beyond the obvious, she really is the real thing. She really is the real thing. Did I say that? The feared resumption of mass sectarian violence erupted once again Sunday in a Baghdad Shiite slum where bombers blew apart two markets. That's two of them shortly before sundown. 44, looks like 44 dead, wounded about 200. The bloody assault on Sadr City came only moments after Iraqi political leaders said the new parliament will convene Thursday. That'll be 3 days earlier than planned as the U.S. ambassador pushed to break a stalemate over naming a unity government. So, looking at Iraq, it really does look like they're facing the possibility of a civil war. And as I said yesterday, should that occur, I believe that U.S. policy will be to kind of lay back and just let it happen. There's not a whole hell of a lot you can do when a country decides they're going to begin killing each other, as in Kosovo and elsewhere, and they're going to keep doing it until they virtually tire of the slaughter. So I would think U.S. troops pretty much would just back away and thankfully not be part of it, but it sure does look like it's coming. In New Orleans, Louisiana, Billy Graham has returned with a Big Easy sermon. He had to use a walker to get to the podium, but he was greeted with a standing ovation. What a man. Billy Graham preaching in New Orleans. The deadly H5N1 strain of bird flu, detected for the first time in poultry in Myanmar and Cameroon. Officials in the two nations said in the latest sign of that disease's expanding range in Africa and Southeast Asia, experts over the weekend confirmed cases in hundreds, get this, hundreds of dead chickens at a farm outside the second largest city there, Mandalay. My God. The strain of bird flu, although not infectious yet, short of blood contact to human beings, is clearly spreading around the world. Should it become infectious, something the scientists seem almost sure of, we're in very, very, very serious trouble. And it is indeed spreading. We would expect it fairly shortly here in the U.S. as birds migrate from Asia. That yearly migration will occur and probably arrive in Alaska and then move south. So we're going to get it here too. The big question, of course, the giant question, is whether H5N1 will become transmissible to humans. And again, the scientists certainly seem to think so. Very severe storms ripped across the Midwest, packed winds that knocked over airplanes. No doubt a lot of antennas came down, ripped off roofs, spawned tornadoes, killed three people. A twister which roared up to, oh my God, a half mile wide, killed a woman seeking shelter in her mobile home. Mobile home? Shelter in a mobile home from a half mile wide tornado. Displaced about 150 residents in western Missouri on Sunday night, said officials. So that's kind of a look at the world news. In a moment, we'll look at what else is going on out there. Something to keep an eye on. The Andaman Islands are having a quake swarm. We'll have to watch that closely. Vesuvius, that volcano that obliterated Pompeii back in AD 79, apparently has the capacity, according to scientists, that would make that event look like a sideshow. nearly 4,000 years ago, it erupted far more violently, destroying the area of present-day Naples, sending a Bronze Age population fleeing for their lives. Michael Sheridan of the University of Buffalo and a group of Italian colleagues investigated the remains of the eruption called the Catastrophe after a village that bore the brunt of it. Avellino, I believe it is. They studied the well-preserved remains of Nola, another village about 10 miles northeast of Vesuvius, where volcanic deposits overwhelmed the settlement 3,780 years ago. They also found evidence that thousands of people fled as the eruption began, leaving footprints solidified in cooling ash. Can you imagine that? Seeing those footprints, now no doubt in stone, as people were running. Most apparently did escape. Close to Nola, the scientists found skeletons of a man and a woman under a meter-deep bed of volcanic debris, the ground littered with fragments of rock up to 4 inches in diameter that showered down at about 150 miles an hour. In other words, rocks falling at terminal velocity or near it in a lethal hailstorm. Can you imagine that? And so they're saying that what could happen would make what did happen just look like nothing at all. Something to think about. We tend to forget what Mother Nature can do if she wants to. It ain't what you got. It's the way that you use it, scientists have just discovered. Humans and other primates may be genetically quite similar, but differences in the activity of individual genes lead to clear differences between the species. Interesting, huh? In other words, we're always told we're that close to an ape, right? Now, that was a theory. But until now, little has been known about how gene activity differs in different primates. To find out, Yoav Gilad, a human geneticist at the University of Chicago, and his colleagues measured gene activity in equivalent genes from humans, chimps, orangutans, and rhesus monkeys. They found that between any pair of species, gene activity apparently differed in 12 to 19% of the 907 genes for which they obtained good data. In particular, genes coding for transcription factors, that'd be what actually regulates the activity of other genes, tend to be very much higher and more active in human beings. They speculate this may be why humans are so different. The analysis also revealed many genes whose activity level has stayed constant over the 70 million years since the four species had a common ancestor. Presumably, these are genes in which a disruption would do most harm. Such genes may be good places, they're saying, to look for disease-causing mutations. The agricultural department, I'd like to repeat this evening, is looking into a case of possible mad cow disease. Another one you want to keep your eye very closely glued on. A routine test indicates possible presence of mad cow disease, according to John Clifford. USDA agency wouldn't say where the animal was from. The cow did not enter the human or animal food chain. We'll see. All right, we're going to do a lot of open lines in this first hour, and I'm going to begin right now. First time caller line, you are on the air. Welcome.
Oh, hi. This is Michael from Maryland.
Hello, Michael.
Hey, I'm also a ham operator. I talked to you, back in May. Just want to let you know, you were the one who got me sort of revitalized into the hobby.
You talked to me on ham radio?
Yeah, back in May.
In May, no kidding. You know, I kind of remember.
Yeah, there was a Dutch station on. We were CQing. You came in there. It was kind of cool.
Yeah.
I'm 17, by the way, and when I was 8, I just read about ham radio somewhere. I didn't remember about it until you mentioned on your show. I got my technician license. Now I'm an extra. And
congratulations.
Yeah, it's a lot of fun.
It's a blast. Maybe you've got some thoughts, since, you know, you're a little bit younger.
Mm-hmm.
How would you say we would best go about getting more people interested, young people interested, in amateur radio? As you well know, as you tune across the bands, you know, it's older guys that are in there. We've got the internet, and somehow the current population has become so entranced. I'm not saying there's a thing wrong with the internet. God knows I use it all the time, but it's not comparable to the magic of talking to somebody on the other side of the world and doing it through nothing but air. I mean, there's just no comparison. But how do we get young people to realize that?
I'm not exactly sure. What did it for me was contesting. I'm very active in contesting now because it's a lot of fun just to work stations really fast. But yeah, the internet has taken some of it away, but I think a lot of it actually helps because we're able to schedule things and I can meet friends on the air, stuff like that.
Oh, well, the internet and ham radio have meshed big time, no question about it. But it seems like young people use it and they look at ham radio and they say, well, why? You know, I can send email to the other side of the world in a flash. Why use radio?
Yeah, well, there is a certain magic, you know, just putting up a wire in the trees and talking to a country that most people in the United States haven't even heard of.
There's not a certain magic. It's total magic.
Yeah.
It really is. All right, thank you very much, and congrats on getting to be an extra.
Yeah, thanks.
Take care, buddy. Somehow, we have to keep this hobby alive. There are more older people on amateur radio now than... certainly when I came in around 1958, and we have to figure out a way to transfer, to tell people, to let people know that there's this magic involved in, as this caller said, you know, throwing a wire up in a tree and transmitting and talking to somebody on the other side of the world with just a wire up in the tree. It's awesome. And we're coming into a sunspot cycle that is really going to be awesome. They say it's going to be the biggest one since 58, and so with very low-power rigs, people are going to be talking all over the world, even to places where the Internet has not yet arrived, islands in the middle of nowhere. Wildcard Line, you're on the air. Hello.
Hey, Art.
Hey. Where are you? Let's try this. Where are you?
Okay. I'm up in Winnipeg, which is central province of Canada.
Oh, yes, and your first name?
I go by the name of Kalum.
Kalum.
Kalum, K-A-L-U-M.
Kalum, pretty exotic. All right, Kalum, what's up?
It was a name given to me, significant of the very topic, interestingly, I'd like to talk to you about, which is a lifetime that I became aware of during the height of the Egyptian civilization, and I wanted to share some interesting corollaries to what's going on with our time cycle right now.
All right. Share away.
Well, most of the enigma around 2012 was much better understood between those cultures at that time, and I played a role of what only could be considered a priest physicist. And the...
I'm not clear on what you're implying here. Are you implying that you were alive during that time?
Correct.
Are you implying that you have you're either eternally alive or you have reincarnated, which be it?
Reincarnated over 7,000 times on this planet alone.
Now, see, how do you remember that? Everybody I talk to about reincarnation is clear on one thing, and that is conscious memories don't move from life to life.
Usually that's the basis or reference of preferential desire to incarnating and somewhat of the agreement of the space-time...
Come on, say it so I can understand it. That's gibberish to me. How do you remember a previous life?
Or do you know how magnetic tapes work, right?
Yes.
You understand that the brain is magnetite, correct?
I do. We have magnetite in our brains, yes. Not a great amount of it, but we do have it.
And we're highly influenced by magnetic fields, as we're finding out, and the implications of the changes, or sometimes termed aberrations, of the solar field, which has direct correlations to the magnetic field, is directly indicative of the conscious movement that opens up the availability to access what has been magnetically erased from our holographic brain. As we're starting to realize through physics, the holographic nature of how our consciousness exercises itself through non-locality, was understood in the ancient days that the sun would directly change the interface to which or how we operate on or to or through the holographic nature that permeates the interface function of or between matter and antimatter.
All right. I get, and I understand what you're saying. You're basically saying that the sun which controls a great deal of the magnetic activity that's going on, magnetic influences and all the rest, is somehow responsible for allowing you to remember, or some activity allowing you to remember previous lives. Is that basically it?
Well, also, not only that, but the function of which you're seeing the rise of shadow beings is part of another spectrum of the electromagnetic portion of which multidimensionality exists upon.
Well, I have thought, thank you very much. That was very interesting. I have thought that modern day computers, which frequently vibrate, they actually vibrate. In other words, there are you have a refresh rate with a monitor, for example, and you can set that refresh rate. And as you sit in front of a computer for hours on end, it is my theory, and it's only a theory, that you actually, your brain begins to assimilate the vibrational characteristics of what you've been watching for hours, and that just may give us a peek, a look, an occasional glimpse of what may be another dimension. And I'm talking now about another virtual vibrational state. This will make sense to some of you and be gibberish to others, but I'm rather convinced that's why modern people are beginning to see things that they just can't account for. You know, little movements and shadows and things that might be going on at a different vibrational rate. East of the Rockies, you're on the air. Hello.
Yes, sir.
Hi.
This is Bob, WMAN 1400, Mansfield, Ohio.
Yes, sir. Welcome.
I would like, if you would have a guest on, that would describe the mechanism that would make it possible to shade the equator and as far north as hurricanes and tornadoes like this evening exist, such that there would be less thermal gradient from the equator to the poles, and you could still have essentially the same weather at the pole, but we wouldn't have these violent windstorms.
All right. Well, I follow you completely. Thank you. I don't know. That's toying an awful lot with Mother Nature. I understand you are fed up with the violent storms. I don't blame you for one second. And it's going to get a lot worse before it gets better. I mean, obviously, I really don't think there are that many people who no longer believe that we're not in a very rapid transitional moment with the weather. We obviously are. However, something of that magnitude, he's talking about shading an actual portion of the Earth from the sun to allow the poles to remain roughly the same, but to cool things off. We don't know enough about doing that kind of thing. I'm not saying we couldn't do it. We probably have the ability, technically, to launch stuff that could actually accomplish that. But I think, you know, messing around with Mother Nature in that way might have consequences. It's kind of like the consciousness thing. We really don't know what would happen. Possibly nothing good. West of the Rockies, you're on the air. Hello.
Hello.
Hi. Turn your radio off, please.
It's off.
Okay. Good. Proceed.
Oh, Mr. Amos.
Amos?
Yeah.
All right, Amos.
I sent you an email last year.
Yes.
They always talk about, but you never see it. And I got a magnetic motor for you.
You have a motor for me?
Yeah.
Is this a motor that runs on nothing?
Yeah, it went on magnetic. I made it for a long time, but now I got the whole thing off. What do you call it? I'll put in the box and everything. Waiting to send it away to you. And
all right. The way. You. Okay, sir. Listen very carefully
yes.
to me. What you're going to have to do is send it to the Premier Radio Network, and they will get it to me. I'm
yeah.
no longer accepting direct mail here, so you're going to have to send it to Premier, and I would be, as I've always said, more than happy to examine it if it's a real McCoy.
Oh, it is. I got the whole thing all put together.
Okay, I've got it.
Okay.
So you get it to Premier Radio Networks, all right? Once again, let's plunge back into open lines. First time caller line, you're on the air. Good morning.
Mr. Art Bell, good morning, sir.
Good morning to you. Where are you?
Well, I'm in Chicago.
Chicago. On a cell phone? I see you on a cell phone, actually.
Yes.
Ah.
The Big 89, WLS.
What a monster.
Won't play you on Sunday night, so I have to stream link you.
What a monster.
Thank you, God, for stream link, and thank you, God, for Art Bell, the man, the myth, the legend.
Oh, please.
Oh, come on. 13
this
years.
Legend crap has got to stop.
13 years I've grown up with you. 13 years of listening to you. And have being fascinated by your side, fighting with you by your side, laughing with you by your side, crying with you by your side. You've done it all. You've done it all.
Well, I don't know. You're just trying to, this is just a call to make me feel old, isn't it?
Well, hey, that means I'm old, too, so let's not go there.
All right.
I had to come up with a gift for you. You don't come to Chicago much.
Not a lot.
No, so I
mostly I go through Chicago. Chicago's the kind of place that, you know, you land at O'Hare, and then you take off from O'Hare, and you go, wow, that's Chicago under that mess there.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
So I came up with a gift for you.
And that would be?
Your deep-voiced announcer. I cannot remember his name.
Ross Mitchell.
That's him, Ross Mitchell.
Yes.
Got some text for him to read for you forever from me to you as a way of saying thanks.
I see.
It's a part of my thesis that I'm writing.
I see.
And it's all actually right. The title.
Well, then email it to me.
I will do that.
You know how to do that, right? Do that.
Absolutely.
All right. All right. That would be, let me give it to everybody, you and everybody, Art Bell. That's ARTBELL, very easy, ARTBELL at AOL.com or Art Bell, preferably, I think, at Mindspring.com. That would be the main one, Art Bell at Mindspring.com. So there you have it. Get it to me, and I'll take a look. If it's a Ross kind of bit of material, I'll forward it on. Wildcard Line, you're on the air. Good morning.
Good morning.
Hi.
I'm a local hammer operator in Michigan.
Oh, good.
My son has also been licensed. His call sign's KDH.
No, don't do that. That'll identify your location, sir.
Oh, okay. And he started a program called Ham Kids to start to get youth involved. We got into the hobby, and there isn't many youth.
No, there isn't. There certainly are not. And my question would be, how is he doing it? What enticement, when he talks to other young people, is he using?
A lot to do with the space station. And then,
it's true, you can talk to the space station.
And fox hunting seems to be a pretty big hit with them, too.
Fox hunting, folks, means a transmitter locating. In other words, somebody goes and takes a low-power transmitter and hides somewhere, or hides it, and then, you know, you have a contest to see who can find the transmitter first, right?
Correct.
Yeah,
and then talking with people all around the world seems to be a real big attraction for youth, and then, you know, people of all ages. So.
Well, the problem, again, is that, you know, young people will say, well, I can do that on my computer. And somehow, we've got to ingrain in today's young people how much fun the magic is of being able to do it through the air with, as the caller said a little while ago, nothing more than a wire up in the tree. It's magic. Radio is magic. It's always been magic. And I should go on to add this, that my entry into amateur radio guided my entire life. It got me jobs. You know, amateur radio is a fraternity in which other members frequently help each other out. It's like a secret society. We don't have a special handshake. But we have special numbers we use, and all I can tell you is that it shaped my entire life, and then my movement from amateur radio into commercial radio was au naturel. You know, I entered in the technical end of things, and I'm still there, and then, of course, this side of the microphone, so it shaped my whole life. That's how much I have to thank amateur radio for. Now, again, today's youth looks at a computer and says, you know, I can do that with a computer. No, you can't. No, you can't. And in an emergency, that's certainly one appeal. You may have noticed that newspapers and radio stations, when all other communications are down, and believe me, cell phones go down like matchsticks. And when there's an emergency, the hams get through when nobody else does. East of the Rockies, you're on the air. Hello.
Hello?
Hello.
Oh, am I on?
Well, I hope so. What is your first name?
This is Ellen, and I'm in Nebraska.
Hello, Ellen.
I'm calling because I had a vision that I am concerned might come true. And I don't usually have this kind of a vision. I saw a big cargo ship in a river, and to the left of it, to the west of it, was a building about 6 floors high and 2, if not 3 blocks long. And suddenly the shore end of the building just totally collapsed, and the rest of it collapsed in that direction.
Wow.
And at the same time, I got the word Philadelphia.
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 All right.
And I think, I know that if this happens, it will be this month, and it will be on a Monday.
Why? How do you know? Okay, how do you know that?
It just comes to me. I don't know. I've never had anything quite like this before. I'm scared. I think that this is a place where they process fish, and there could be hundreds of people in that building when this happens.
Well, that's quite a vision, all right. Did you have it once, or is it one of these repeated things?
No, it just, I've never had anything quite like this, you know, especially with a word, you know.
Uh-huh.
And this is not a place that I would ever visit or envision.
Right.
I was just walking across the room getting ready to sit down, and here came this thing, you know, with an announcement. And I couldn't help thinking there was a reason why I was getting it.
And maybe there's a reason why you got through on the phones tonight.
I think so, too.
Maybe.
I actually had my cousin email you today for fear I wouldn't get through. I've been trying for 3 or 4 nights.
All right. Well, it is now duly registered, I assure you. And if you are correct, why, of course, we'll have you back. And
if there's somebody in Philadelphia who knows where this place is, just so they can, you know, warn people.
All right. I appreciate the call. I doubt that any warning served up from a vision would be followed, but I mean, that's just the way the world is. But I can absolutely assure you that if it occurs after this phone call, there will be many people paying attention. I doubt anything will be done because of a vision, but certainly if you hit it, we'll pay attention. West of the Rockies, you're on the air. Hello.
Hi, Art. How you doing?
I'm doing all right, sir. Where are you?
I am in York, Nebraska right now.
Okay.
I'm calling about your show last night about the Phoenix Lights.
Oh, yes.
And what was really strange is when I was listening to it last night, I didn't have any cell phone signal out in the middle of Wyoming because there was a blizzard. But when that was happening, I was with meeting my wife. Where I met my wife was at the Grand Canyon.
Yes, sir.
And we have pictures of these lights. At the Grand Canyon, there was 3 orbs hovering around the south rim of the Grand Canyon for like 20 minutes.
How good is your photography?
Well, it's good enough that you can actually see the solid orbs.
Oh, my. All right.
And
do you have the ability to get these photographs to me? Can you scan them? Can you in some way get them to me?
Yes, I can. I can email them to your email address, either at the AOL or the Mindspring.
Please do that post haste. How long have you been hanging on? Well, obviously, this entire time. Have you sent these photographs elsewhere?
No, I haven't.
Why not?
For fear of being called a kook or they're not real.
All right. Well, you won't get that from me. So,
well, I understand that, and the thing that really got me going last night was when the guest that you had on said they were moving towards the Tucson area.
That's right.
And between Tucson and Phoenix, I have a buddy who lives in Casa Grande, which is right in the middle of Tucson and Phoenix. It's actually closer to Phoenix, but he saw the same lights as well.
Yeah, well, a whole lot of people saw them. Get that to me post haste, please, and I'll get it up. If it's a really good stuff, I'll not only get it up for the audience, but we'll get them examined. That case is going to continue to be examined for a very long time, but fresh evidence like that and good quality photographs will really add to the mix. So anybody else hanging on to evidence, why would you hang on to evidence like that? Well, I guess I do understand. Nobody wants to be called a kook. But if you have actual photographic evidence of that kind of thing, please, by all means, get it to me. We'll get it examined. First time caller line, you're on the air. Hello.
Hi, this is Amy in Kansas City.
Hey there.
Hi. I had a really terrifying dream the other night. Can I tell you about it?
You may. It doesn't involve a big fish place in Philly, does it?
No, it doesn't.
Okay.
Not at all. But I was in an auditorium watching a show with a lot of people, and suddenly time just stopped.
Really?
And I've never had a dream where time just stopped. It felt like...
Well, all right, wait, back up.
Uh-huh.
I describe to me, I mean, it's unimaginable that time would stop. Otherwise, how could you dream of it unless time had stopped for everything and everybody except you?
Well, that's what was so strange. It was like when you watch a DVD and it gets stuck on a scratch or something.
Right.
Everything just froze.
Oh, how weird is that?
And some of us could move our eyes, and we were looking at each other sideways trying to figure out what was going on.
Huh.
And, of course, we were all paralyzed, but I had this sensation of not only trying to move my arms and legs, but I was trying to push time. I was trying to get it to go again.
Huh.
And then... I was stuck in that state for a while with all these people, and then suddenly I was enveloped in white light. And my sensation was, my first thought was, I've just died. That's it for me.
Boy, that's really something.
And I was in the white light for a little bit, and then I came back trying to get awake.
You know why that is really so interesting? Because it would be my theory, and I believe it's the theory of many, ma'am, that... if you pass to the other side, there is no time. So if you had sort of a living NDE, then I can understand this cessation of time. Maybe there was a little hiccup in something, and you got to experience something special. Who knows?
That's what it felt like. Something strange just stopped, and I wasn't sure if I was having a near-death experience or if it was sleep paralysis.
Right.
Because when I tried to wake up, I couldn't move. And it took a while for me to be able to move my arms and my legs, but slowly the feeling came back in.
Sounds like paralysis, all right. And, okay, thank you very much. And especially the time kind of stuttering and stopping is weird. Now, who is to say whether what she just told us is just a description of, you know, sleep paralysis, which we know does occur? And who's to say that it wasn't absolutely real and that these things as described are not absolutely real? None of us can say that. Wildcard line, you're on the air. Hi.
Hi, Art. It's Larry in Fort Lauderdale.
Hello.
Hello. Well, last time I talked to you was the eve of the hurricane here.
I remember.
And in a few hours later, we were to be plunged in darkness for about 15 days. It got pretty bad, and we're still cleaning up from it.
And I'm afraid the season, of course, is upon us just about again.
Oh, we don't even want to think about it. All our roofs still have tarp on it from FEMA, and you can't find contractors. It's a mess. The real reason I called was when you mentioned what would it take to get people interested in the fine art of ham radio.
Yes.
Two things came to mind. One, last night during one of your breaks, I don't know if you played it or Premier played it or it was local, but there was a PSA that very succinctly explained the glorious and the good and the satisfying parts of ham radios and how they survive when everything else fails, like the telephone lines, cable lines, and everything else.
Yes, I believe that's an ARRL PSA, and I run it on KNYE here in Pahrump, Nevada.
Oh.
Again, sir, it's a matter of trying to describe something that's almost indescribable, the magic that you experience when you transmit through the air. It's just magic.
Well, there is another way to do that. And that is this, and looking back, what gets young people interested is if a writer was to put it into a mainline teenage action movie or an episodic television show, then teens tend to want to emulate that. And the ones that are really interested will start researching it. They'll go to the AARL website, and I think you'd see probably thousands of new licenses being issued just from
what
one.
What a really good idea. You have hit on a good one. The tube goes everywhere and is paid attention to by young people. What a really good idea.
So if a writer is listening of an episodic TV series or an action movie, it's an angle that you usually don't see. It was in a 60s movie where a crippled kid was stuck in a building that all the electric and the phones were cut off, and the only way he got out was, I think, by CB. But it wouldn't take much of a stretch of imagination for someone to write in a very good ham part, especially in a disaster-type movie where everything else is down and all you've got the car battery and a radio and, like the guy says, a wire in a tree.
Well, it's been used, of course, in many movies like, Frequency was a movie in which ham radio was portrayed. Contact, remember Jodie Foster? Portrayed there, and in many others, and in many end-of-the-world movies, you know, this is Lawrence, Kansas calling. But,
right.
But you're right. We need need a good TV, very popular TV series, to actually show it in action. And that sure would move mountains. Very good idea, sir.
Thank you.
All right. So if there's any writers listening out there, you know, if you write weekly series, please consider that. And I would be glad to consult, or you'll be able to find a very good consultant. But portraying amateur radio as it really is would be awesome, and it would do a lot of good. East of the Rockies, you're on the air.
Hello, this is Lisa in Pensacola.
Hi, Lisa.
Hi. I feel for the previous caller in Fort Lauderdale.
Yes.
We're awaiting hurricane season two.
Yeah.
And still recovering from Ivan, Dennis, Katrina.
And I must tell you, the count so far on tornadoes, which have begun in a very serious way this year, is 82. We've had 82 tornadoes already.
It's terrible. I live in a mobile home, so I dread any kind of bad weather.
Of course.
And luckily, this thing has survived all the hurricanes, the little tornadoes that come through here. So I consider myself blessed. I was going to say, the caller that was talking about, you know, changing the weather or whatever.
Yes.
Don't do it. As bad as it is, don't even consider it. Because we need these weather events to avoid the big blow-up.
Well, I'm sorry, but we do. I mean, even the hurricanes, they're nature's air conditioners. You know,
yes.
They're converting the heat in the oceans, which is too prolific at the moment, into moisture and air conditioning the planet.
It's like a pressure cooker. If you don't let the steam out, the thing explodes.
Yeah.
And that's what I fear would happen if people start tampering with the weather. And also on the ham radio, the show idea, that's a great one.
It is.
They need to portray the young people actually as the ham operators, though, to get the teenagers interested. Get a late teens, 20-something star of the series. You know, I'm older, so I, you know, would like to see more people my age.